He's just gonna rap it. And I was like, there we go. Y'all, I've been in the mood all week. Y'all don't mind if I play your song today. So y'all can get up, throw your hands up, dance, what have you. But I'm telling you, this song was good. I like it loud. My feet, they do too, cause I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. When I look at my hands, they look new. When I look at my feet, they do too, cause I'm free, I'm free. They do too, cause I'm free. Now, somebody might be thinking, what are you talking about? I said, just certain things in a direction that the Lord is leading the church. Yes. Just had a recent board meeting and stuff. So, pluses. I know everybody has their own thing with, you know, the Black History Month and stuff like that. Some people may, you know, take their kids, share their stuff with the kids and everything. I've never done that with my kids growing up and stuff like that, you know, just sharing about Black history and Black inventors and people, their contributions to this nation. And I get it. Everybody want to throw that Morgan Freeman quote up there and stuff like that, you know, how you don't want your history relegated to 1 month. I get it. Except because Black history is history. But until they can put it apart of the 11, here we are. And I think it was a Republican who started it too, wasn't it? To let people know that they were actually making a contribution. So however you want it, I celebrate it. I like it somewhat, kind of quietly. I don't want any pitchforks and crosses in. No, it's fine. Some burning crosses in my yard, and I'll just put Christmas lights on them. There we go. Preach from there. If you got your Bibles, open up to Galatians 5:1. It says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Good works in order to obtain salvation won't set you free. No matter how good you do, no matter what you do, apart from Jesus, those good works are just good works. Every other religion, every other other religion, I mean, they may have their false gods or what have you, but it's all pertaining to good works and doing good to others or what have you, but their God can't save them. Their God can't deliver them. Their God don't heal them. Their God didn't die for them, wasn't resurrected. Their God is dead, and we serve a living God. So it doesn't matter how much good you do. You can give your money to the poor. You can feed other people. You can change as many lives as you can. You can try to get along with everybody in the community. You may, you know, give to charity now and then. Those good works aren't going to do anything because you have to depend on the work of what Jesus did on the cross. So if the Son, if Jesus has truly set you free, you are free. You are free. Generational curses broken. You are free. He set you free. Any sickness, any disease, anything that's holding you back, you're free. You're no longer in bondage. You are free. Well, you know, I got this one thing. You are free. Free means free. Freedom from the yoke of slavery. Freedom from the control of religious leaders. The Spirit of God will never control. He wants you yielded to Him. God wants you yielded to Him. You know, a few years ago, right when I took over, I don't know if any other pastor had done this, but, you know, our great, fine organization, FCF, got some great leaders there, and Fred and Cookie Brothers. They gave us a questionnaire, toxic leadership questionnaire. Y'all remember filling that out? I was only supposed to give it to the leaders, not everybody. But I gave it to everyone, whether they knew me or not or what have you. They first-time visitors, yeah. Check it off. We don't like you. And I sat up here and I read them all. Well, most of them and stuff. Some of them were pretty repetitive and everything. And I was trying to figure out the handwriting so I can get after you. No, but here's the thing. When people go around gathering up intel on others just so they can come back and, well, we want to be able to change. Here's the thing. How we change spiritually is by the renewing of our mind. It's taking control of our thoughts. I don't need to send people out in order to get information just to come back to me and see, oh, I need to change. If I'm doing that, really, if that's what's going on, then it's more so, how can I continue to deceive? How can I continue to manipulate? And I'm going to just let you know, this church ain't going to operate in manipulation. I'm not going to manipulate the chairs and make it look full. I'm not going to do all of that because we are not going to be operating in that way, because this year is the year of obedience for us. Amen. I woke up on the right side of the bed. If we want to change, we do it by the word of God. And Romans 12:2 says, stop imitating, this is Passion Translation, stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Change takes place inwardly, not outwardly. So trying to just change your behavior based upon the information that you receive from others means you're allowing people to govern your life and not the Holy Spirit. You're going around asking how others think about you, what they think about you. I understand Jesus said that. Who do people say I am? And then He says, now who do you say I am? And then Peter says, you are Christ, Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon. For it wasn't man who revealed it to you, it was my Father in heaven. If we're insecure, we got insecure people going around doing all that stuff. I said, listen, you got to get to the place to where you just fully trust in the Lord. I don't send people out in order to get information to bring it back to me. I like for y'all to mind your own business. I'm going to mind mine. And when I get up here, I'm going to say, listen, I'm telling you, it's like, I said hi to somebody, hey, what's up? And I was dropping off a delivery, seeing somebody in the store, said, "Hey, what's up?" And I was going to say, see how they were doing and stuff like that, because we've talked, we're cool, we worked together before and stuff like that. And as soon as I turned them back around, they jet. I was like, okay, all right. Maybe they were doing something. Maybe they were in a hurry. I didn't make anything of it. Then I seen another person. And my conversations, I would like for them to be about 1 minute. I don't need to know. I said, because sometimes they just, you know, they'll spill their guts. And so I'm good with a handshake, a little pat, not too much. You don't rub and stuff like that, and don't do the double hug and stuff. I said, just a little pat. I'm good. Hey, how's everything going? Good. Family good. All right, great. Boom. Peace. See you later. That's me. And if you get too long, I'm going to start walking slowly away. I perfected the walk away while talking, and next thing you know, I'm in a car rolling down the window. All right, see you. You don't want to get back into bondage again. Because sometimes when we're putting out the flying monkeys, sent to torment, sent to gather up intel, things of that nature, if God has called you to do something, then he has qualified you. And if he has qualified you, then he has anointed you. And if he has anointed you, then he will protect you. Man, if you're leading in the house, leaders, if you're leading in your churches and your organizations and you have to have people protect you, you might want to reconsider your call. Because your position is to lead. And if you're leading, your family should have your... See, when young men used to go into war, when men used to go into war, and then they had their sons, right? Women wasn't allowed because they were taking care of the family, what have you. But the young son was left to do what? Protect the family. It wasn't the other way around. Well, now the family's got to protect that son because he's the only one. The young man had to protect the family. I grew up, and you know, every once in a while, I think it was in 22, I started doing this for a little bit. I lived in California, Southern California, all my life in Oxnard, and I rarely ever went anywhere. Like, we just kind of stayed because, you know, we had gangs and stuff like that. You don't want to end up in the wrong territory, on the wrong street, wearing the wrong color. That's just natural. I mean, you got to watch your back when you're pumping the gas. But here's the thing. I'm in Kansas, and I like, you know, I like to go see some of these places. One day I just took a trip to, was it Greensboro? Was it where they had the, Greensburg. I went and see the nice, beautiful city hall there. It's awesome. Went and see, and then I took a drive and I headed west to good old Dodge City. And I'm telling you what, I've always wanted to be there ever since I seen Vacation, Family Vacation, Chevy Chase. Y'all remember that movie? Yeah, hey. So I've always wanted to see Dodge City, and the thing is that I'm a big Western. My favorite movie is Tombstone to this day. Love Doc Holliday. I'm your Huckleberry. Tombstone. And you know, but one of the things is that when you're dealing with those cowboys, you're dealing with some of those men, if you had beef, you squared it away. It was just a one-on-one thing. But the cowards in the movie, Ike, he was always starting fights, instigating stuff, hiding behind people. I was like, will somebody get that Joker? Please gun him down. The Holy Spirit gives you the boldness not to be like Ike, but to be more like the others. I understand they made a living, did all that other stuff. I said, if you could just see through that, their heart behind it. Jesus did all those things. And if we were to take a snapshot at what Jesus had done when he fashioned that whip and drove him out, people today would be like, look what he's doing. He called himself the Messiah. Let me throw some scriptures in there. Love your neighbor as yourself. And they totally miss the heart behind it. And sometimes we can do that. We can miss the heart behind what someone else is doing, but yet God sees it. We look on the outward man. God can look on the outward man, but he looks on the inward man first. In Matthew 26, it says, Jesus quickly stepped up. Judas quickly stepped up to Jesus and said, Shalom, Rabbi. And he kissed him on both cheeks. My beloved friend, Jesus said, is this why you've come? Then the armed men seized Jesus to arrest him. But one of the disciples pulled out a dagger, swung it at the servant of the high priest, slashing off his ear. Jesus said to him, put your dagger away. For all those who embrace violence will die by violence. Don't you realize I can ask my heavenly Father for angels to come at any time to deliver me? And instantly he would answer me by sending more than 12 legions of angels to come and protect us. But that would thwart the prophetic plan of God, for it has been written that it would happen this way. When you are called by God, he protects you. Jesus said, I could have had 12 legions of angels. 12. One legion. Remember legion, we are many, is at least 3,000 to 6,000. He said, I can have 12 to protect me. And he really didn't need 12 because when they asked who he was, are you Jesus of Nazareth? He said, I am he. And they drew back. Jesus could have wiped them out himself if he wanted to. And to say that he had 12, when you are called to that place, he will qualify you. He will anoint you. And he will protect you. You ain't got to worry about things. You don't have to go out and gather up the gangs behind you or in front of you so that they protect you. If you have to do that, then I'm going to let you know. You might want to reevaluate your life. You might want to reevaluate your call. You might want to reevaluate who you are in Christ because somewhere down the line, you may have missed it. And it's okay. That's what repentance means, to turn. Fathers lay down their lives for their families. They lay down their lives. So if Jesus has set you free, here's the thing. You are free from the law of sin and death, and you don't dare get back into that yoke of slavery. This past last Monday, we had our board meeting, and this is what I wrote. I had to do a state of the church address. Is that what it's called? Something like that. But this is what I wrote. 2024 is the year of obedience and what God wants for Westview Church. There's no time for selfish agendas. We want to be a community of believers that not only walk in authority what Jesus has given us, but to help repair and build up strong families in the city. There are far too many broken relationships that we may know, and the family is always under attack. So outreaches will be more centered around reaching out to families and young people who may not have any guidance in life, along with the other ones that we've already been doing. We want to continue to be a light and pillar in this community so that our lampstand will always be lit for the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Passion Translation says, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the anointed one. We believe that we will not experience lack in any area of our lives, not just for this church, but those young and old, believers and unbelievers that walk through this door. Therefore, we take off the limits that we may have on God, and we choose to walk in the fullness of his grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in agreement with that, say amen. 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 I said, well, people just thinking about numbers. I said, no, spiritual growth. That ain't about the numbers. It's spiritual growth. Obedience to our Heavenly Father rather than man pretending to be God. And some people truly believe that they have a right to the story that the Father has already written out for you, but the truth is that they don't. God to man, to the people. Powerful. He gave a word to the prophets. They spoke it out. Powerful. Jesus says, I can only say what I hear my Father say. And when he spoke it out, powerful. The disciples, when they got that word, they got it from the Holy Spirit. Powerful. When the men wrote the Bible, all these men were, the Bible was written by men. Yeah, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Powerful. But when it gets to person, to person, to person, to person, dull. And that's what religion is. He says it's the traditions and the doctrines of man that makes the word of God of no effect. It's passed on from person to person. So when somebody, so if the Lord is telling you, I think I got a word for so-and-so, but I don't really want to say it, so I'm going to go ask Richard to say it for me. Dole. It's not going to do what it needs to do. Even when Pastor Brandon was up here, I said, I didn't tell you what to say. You know why? Number one, I trust him. Number two, I want to hear what the Lord is saying through him, because I can learn some things. I don't know it all. So I want to hear what God is saying through him. I don't want him to be a puppet for me. Because me to him, to you all, dull. But God to him, to you all, powerful. And that goes for anyone else that I may have come up here and speak or what have you. It's like, you're doing all these other things. No, I'm not going to send anything to anyone else. Even when I did youth, I never told them what to say. Is there anything you want me to preach on? Preach on what the Lord has given you to preach or teach. Because when you get it from man to man to man, I'm going to let you know, how many of you chop wood? Anybody ever chop wood? You cut wood? How long do you spend sharpening your blade? Sentence against dull, but you need a sharp blade though, right? Because if you're using that dull blade, she said, he buys a new one. That's good. See that? You got money there, bruh. That's good. I don't need to sharpen. But most people would spend hours, an hour sharpening the blade just so they can just get one swoop, just boom. But if you have a dull blade, that thing is just going to hit the top, bounce off, it might get stuck. Now, and then and what ends up happening, you just end up just beating up that wood and it's all jacked up. You get tired and what have you. I said, and that's what happens when we do it from man to man to man to man. When we're trying to correct, that ends up being abuse. Rather than it is just being the word, cutthroat, just straight out. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword, so it'll cut, but it will also heal. It will also mend. It will also set free. So when we go from person to person, it's not having the same effect that it needs to have. You want to get back to seeing the miracles, it's got to be from God to man to you. God to woman to you and where he sent you. But if it's from person to person, I guarantee you it's not going to do what it needs to do. I don't know about y'all. There was a time, just a snippet in our lives where we had to eat some government cheese. Anybody ever eat government cheese before? And I tell you what, you ever try making a grilled cheese sandwich with that? The bread is like this. Because you can't even cut a regular slice. Because if you don't have a very, very, very sharp knife and you got to use a butter knife, you cut it and it breaks off in the middle. And then you got two pieces that you're going to have to put and the thing don't even melt. So you're trying to eat this grilled cheese sandwich and now you eat it. It's sitting in your stomach for 4 days. You constipate it. You can't do anything. I mean, thank God we got off of government cheese. It happened because my mom wasn't working and my dad had gotten hurt on his job. So he wasn't getting workman's comp. Whew. But that's what ends up happening. From God to man, to you all, powerful. And that's where you need to stay. You want to start seeing the miracles and everything being displayed, it's got to be from that. It's got to be that connection there, that intimacy that we have with the Father. Pastor, I heard somebody say once, tell me, you know, you got to put your marriage above the ministry. I said, we do. We do. I just don't take somebody else's opinion over my marriage. It's got to be from God to man to the people. To the people. But when we start manipulating, well, you know, if knowing the Father is eternal life, And Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. What are the gifts that he gives us? Are they eternal? Absolutely. So we can't trade these gifts, his word, and intimacy with him for some trinkets. Why? Because if you give somebody a trinket, not saying that it's not a good thing, but it's only for a season. It's temporary. But you can give a word that can last forever until that person goes home to be with the Lord. They can receive that a whole lot better. Otherwise, you're going to be spending all this money, and yet over here, this intimacy with the Lord, his gifts, his word is free. I'm going to go with this. You chasing after the gifts? Listen, I'm chasing after the gifter, but I'm also receiving his gifts. If you're chasing after the gifter, he ain't going to give you no trinkets. He's not going to give you no gift back. Those are nice. But I want the eternal things. Because all that stuff is just temporary. And temporary would just basically mean it's subject to change. And you're going to have to change it up. You have to go out and get more information and then change it up again. Go out and put out more information. And yet the Lord is saying, why don't you speak a word to her? Okay, grab that bag. Get that to her. And say something. Say that I love her. And that this stuff right here, this storm in your life, is going to pass this season. So hold on. And that word, yeah, you got the bag. You got the hat. You got the lockets. You got all that other stuff. But what you have, which is eternal, is his word. Sandra, Miss Boehner, God is going to heal your husband. Amen. Thank you. I believe he's healed in the name of Jesus. And we speak against that dementia in the name of Jesus right now. And we curse it. For the memory of the righteous shall be blessed. And we call him whole in the name of Jesus from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. You've been faithful, and you haven't backed down, so you stay with it in the name of Jesus. From God to man to the people, powerful. I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to trade that all for something because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I don't give a doggone what they say. Oh, you heard about the tip. You heard about this. I don't give a rip. You know you got something on you when the enemy has to gather up everybody else in order to come against one person. And I'm not sitting here saying I'm bragging. And God forgive me if I do, but I'm more called than anybody in this city. And I'm more anointed than anybody in the city. It's not a competition. It's not a competition. I just refuse to back down to denominations, religion, and all that other junk. And if I ever taught it in that way, forgive me. But I'm going after the gifter. And I'm going to open myself up for the gifts to be flowing through us, not just me. And if anybody want to stop that, bring it. Because he protects me. I don't need to send people out to stop you. He protects me. Because he calls you, he qualifies you, he anoints you, he protects you. And you just got to be out your mind to want to come against me because I don't lose. Because I go to him. And he puts those people around me that I need to have my back. Because when you're leading, you got your back. David, Peter, in the garden. Look at that scripture in Matthew. Kristen was very, very, very helpful in this because I put Matthew 29. It only goes at 28 chapters. So it's Matthew 26. It says, Judas quickly stepped up to Jesus and said, Shalom, Rabbi. and he kissed him on both cheeks. My beloved friend, Jesus said, is this why you've come? Then the armed man seized Jesus to arrest him. But one of the disciples pulled out the dagger, swung it at the servant of the high priest, slashing off his ear. Jesus said to him, put your dagger away, for all those who embrace violence will die by violence. Don't you realize that I could ask my heavenly Father? Did I just read this already? So we're just repeating it? Okay. But here's the thing. For the angels to come anytime to deliver me, and instantly he would answer me by sending more than 12 legions of angels. This is what I was getting ready to say because I went on a rant. Not a rant, but, you know, just a rabbit trail. That's why I had to come back to this. What Peter did and what I got out of this, he tried to protect Jesus. Peter, put your sword away. Sheep don't protect shepherds. You understand? I'll covet your prayers. I don't need you to protect me. I need you to have my back. Women, your husband needs you to have his back, his side, along with your children. My children got my back. They don't protect me. If you're protecting, I say, I guarantee you there's been manipulation going on. If you have to protect another individual, God protects us. He covers us. You protect your wife. You protect your children as a husband. Even when it came to David, he protected his father's sheep. He didn't send the sheep after the bear. He didn't send the sheep after the lion. He went out, protected the sheep. Man, God has called you to be leaders of your home. Protectors. Spiritual leaders. And if you don't know how to do it, sit down and spend that intimate time with him. But he's called you to do that, to lead your families, to lead your homes. That's an important thing. Pray over your kids. The year of obedience. I want to be obedient to God. I want to be obedient to what he's saying to me. I want to be obedient in every area of my life. And not just go off of what man wants me to do and say. And here's the thing. When you make that commitment, I guarantee you, you're going to tick some people off, especially the devil. He isn't going to like that. He wants you to stray away because he walks around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He doesn't want you to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. God, to you, to your family, to your children, to the people he's called you to say something, don't you dare for one second give that to somebody else. Give that assignment to someone else. If you were supposed to say it, you say it. It doesn't matter how it makes you look. If you were supposed to say it, you say it. If you were supposed to do it, you do it. If you were supposed to call that thing out, you call it out. I love a song that's called God Problems by Maverick City. Have y'all heard it? It's a good song, but there's a part we're going to have to change it up. We are going to have to change it up when we do it for Easter. It says, I'm drawing a blank right now. But it says, I'm going to tell the devil or something like that. Somebody tell the devil. I said, wait a minute. You can't have somebody tell the devil for you. You got to do it. You can't have somebody do it for you. So we're going to change those lyrics when we do it. Just remind me. If we start singing it, say, hey, hold on. Wait, flag on a play. Time out. From God to you. Women, to your husbands. From God to you, to your husbands. But when it goes from person to person to person to person to person, it gets watered down, and I guarantee you there's going to be abuse within that. And if you're eating government cheese, that's abuse to your stomach. You got that dull axe, you're abusing that wood. Be obedient to what he's called you to say and do. And you're going to start seeing the power flow through you again. Because we're not backing down. In the last days, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. My wife has a lot of gifts. But I can't force her to flow through them. A lot. Scares me at times. Will you be quiet? She has a lot of gifts. Her siblings do as well. From God to you, to the people. But if it's from someone else, it's not going to have the impact that it needs to have. And you got to be bold enough to say that and do. Children, same thing. Your children will prophesy. They're not getting it from the parents. Hey, Tommy, you need to say this and this and this and this. Well, thus saith the Lord. No. It's from God to your children, to the people. You don't need to force that on. Amen. Hallelujah. Sandra, does that minister to you? Amen. We're in agreement. That stuff is not too big for God. That's nothing. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. That's nothing. And the power flows through you too. From God to you. To your husband. Powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. From God to me, to you, son, be healed. You got to start walking in it because you've already received the word from previous pastor, myself. You've already got the word. So we call that manifestation. We call that spirit of infirmity off you in the name of Jesus to where you are healed and whole. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to accept it. Honestly, it's violating. It has no right to be there. It has no right to, it has to surrender to the name of Jesus. Are you from Hayes? Why do you look familiar? Don't say your name. I'm horrible with names. Is it Freddie? Freddie. Doggone. Did you used to come to 180 back in the day? Yeah. My goodness. Thank God. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back. And you can stay. We'll welcome you. In the name of Jesus. Man, I was like, who is that? I bet your TT's boyfriend is probably saying, you still call me Cameron. His name is Carson. I called him Cameron the other day, but you can remember somebody you hadn't seen in 20 years. That's the anointing. That's one. Well, Father God, we just thank you for everyone here today. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good, good God, Lord. And we just thank you that this is the year of obedience and that we will follow you and not man. And Father, if any of us that gets off course, Lord, we just believe that you will just lead us back to that. And Lord, we just thank you for your will, Lord. We are expecting great things this year, Lord, regardless of what has been prophesied or what have you, Lord. We are expecting a great year spiritually, in intimacy with you. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're getting ready to receive communion. Ushers, you can go and get the children if you like. Oh, you didn't have communion today? Okay. No, we didn't do communion last Sunday, though. Okay. We'll do communion next week. Okay. You plan for that? Well, shoot. Well, stand up. Let's stand up. Let's go. Y'all just wanted to get out for the games and stuff and prepare. All right. Who got the cheese? Raise your hand, Chiefs. 49ers. I'm from Cali, so I got to go with the 49ers. I will be watching a game by myself. So, it's hard to cheer for the Chiefs when they beat my Bills like that every single year. It gets old. Well, before you leave, what'd you say? Yes. You know, hey, we're waiting for your son to play for us, so that's all.
You know what? I'll be wearing the
shirt. You and me both. That'll be good. Well, go and say hi to some, at least two people before you leave, and just give them a hug. And if you have a word, speak it. God bless you. Have a good week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.